Welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here, as always, with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. How's it going, Caitlin?
G'day, Tim.
You changed your Twitter bio today.
Yes,
I
did.
It's a special day.
It is.
You've had the same one for a while now.
I know. Well, yeah, I have. Well, actually, I've been thinking about it a lot. You know, I'm not just a journalist. I think like a journalist. I think growing up around journalists means that I, you know, my conditioning is as a journalist. So I'm used to asking questions. I'm not really used to telling my own story.
Mm.
So it's kind of weird to me that people want to know who I am or, like, you know, what I'm like as a person or where I came from.
That's one of the reasons you struggle with interviews.
I really do.
You said in the thing, it's that the interviews cause you more trouble than they're worth in one of your recent articles. That's really true, isn't it? Like, you really have a hard time telling people about yourself. You're like, my dad was a journalist, and I, like, for a while, I blogged about environmentalism. I don't know. Why are you talking to me?
Yeah, that's actually on a good day.
Yeah. That's you're not good at telling your own story.
No, but I thought it's about time I got better. So, So I wrote that piece for Steamer, you know, a little about me. And so that helped kind of solidify stuff. And then Helen Razor, who's like, you know, my teenage angsty idol, now intellectual giantess, she wrote a profile piece and she came over here. You made her a cup of tea, but you didn't give her a biscuit, and I will...
Sorry, I don't...
You're so bad at tea.
I don't understand Australia things yet.
No, okay, I should not have left that bit up to you. But anyway, so, and you know, we had a nice chat and everything, and then she wrote up this amazing profile piece, which I really liked, and did seem to tell my story, and so I was like, oh, okay, so...
So that's who I
am. That's who I am. So I'm getting a better idea of who I am. So I went and changed it. Also, another thing happened too recently. Like, some people drew my attention to a certain sibling partnership who are prominent in the progressive journalism circles, talking about me. And so I went and had a listen to what they were saying. And they were saying all these things that I assume that they think are bad things, right? That right. I appeal to the cheap seats and that I, you know, that I'm popular.
That you're not snooty enough, basically.
That I'm not a snob, really.
That you don't spend years putting together a 7.5-hour documentary and then hide it behind a paywall where no one can listen to it except your sister's fancy friends.
We were going to be nice, Tim.
Sorry.
Anyway, so, yeah, I realized, and that's fine. Look, that is fine. There is definitely a place for intellectual, elitist, lefty...
Bullshit.
Journalism, Timothy.
Sorry.
Yeah, so, but there is very precious few people on the populist kind of, you know, working class, talk to the people in the language of the people stuff. And I've noticed that for years, and I always wanted to do that. It never sat well with me that, like, the great you know, working class newspapers in Australia anyway are all right leaning. Why is that? That's just bullshit. Like,
right. What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's all stuff that's built to serve the rich.
Yes, and that is meant. That's absolutely
of
meant.
Course, yeah.
Yeah. Also, I am cheapseat. I am Bogan. Bogan's a strange...
Explain Bogan for the American listener, because I was completely unfamiliar with that term until I met you.
Okay. Well, it is a particularly Australian term, and I'm probably going to fail. You know, it's one of those terms that you end up going, you know, like Bogan. It's like Bogan. It's like Bogan. And then you say that 4 or 5 times and go, oh, hey, God.
So redneck is not a good translation, Australian redneck?
No, not as I understand a redneck to be, no. Because a redneck is generally white, yeah?
Mm.
Well, a bogan can be any sort of denomination, any sort of ethnicity, any sort of colour. And it basically delineates the line between the kind of the people who chose to come here and the people who didn't quite choose to come here, which is pretty much 95% of us. You know, like my ancestors are all like, they came here as prisoners. They came here from the potato famine. They came here, you know, they didn't mean to come here. Right. They were kind of forced to. So we are a country of, you know, we were based on prison labor and then just waves of refugees. So I think basically we're the Bogans. And then there are people who chose to come here who, you know.
The university professors.
The elite, really. Yeah. It's a class of people who are quite happy. I mean, and they, it's very hard to say. But some people just know. I think it actually delineates more like a kind of a classism that is hard to talk about. But I know that when I go into a situation with politicians or academics or things like that, I'm not really them, you know, and I never really have been, and I don't really know how to dress, and I'm not really sure, like, what the manners are and stuff like that. So I do my best, but I'm sure I stick out like a sore thumb, and that's kind of Bogan. So you can be what's called a cashed up Bogan, which means you've got a lot of money, but you're still a Bogan, you know. you still don't quite fit into the elitist kind of upper strata,
right?
So yeah, and I think like, you know, I've owned that for years. I'm okay with that. Like, it's the sort of thing that that you don't really want to proudly say, but also at the same time, it just means that I'm, you know, I'm a mum from the outer suburbs of Melbourne, and I don't have anything to do with academia or elitist circles. I would never, you know, the people at Counterpunch would probably hate me because I'm crass.
You are unapproved and unauthorized.
Yeah.
By the tight, small, closely knit, exclusive community of college campus Marxism.
I am the cheap seats. You know, I'm right. I can only afford the cheap seats.
I don't understand how that could possibly, how can in any reality tunnel, how could that possibly be a disadvantage thing? You play to the people.
Your
writing is accessible.
Right. I know. People like to read you. Yeah, but it's kind of that P.T. Barnum thing. There's that movie out, The Showman, which my daughter really, really adores. And, you know, there's like P.T. Barnum did a great job of actually framing the beauty of everyday weird and wonderful humans.
Mm.
And speaking to that, speaking about that, and being a part of that, I don't feel like... Anyway, so I just rewrote it. Hang on, I'll find you what I wrote.
You rewrote your bio.
I rewrote my Twitter bio. Rogue journalist, bogan socialist, anarcho-psychonaut, guerrilla poet, utopia prepper. You will disagree with me sometimes, and that's okay.
That's a good rewrite.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm happy with that too.
Yeah. So that's your working story of who Caitlin is.
Yeah, we'll you know, build all the time.
So that you're not trying to impress the elitist wankers. And...
Well, I don't want to be an elitist wanker.
I don't understand how that causes you so much dissonance. Like, I've never identified as like a Marxist or a socialist or anything. I've always had kind of lefty leanings, but I never really thought of them as my people. I grew up on the Three Stooges. You know, it was that was my integral to my upbringing. It was these three working class people. Every episode is these three working class people find their way, they sneak their way into a mansion somehow, and they figure out a way to get some money they get, in a case of mistaken identity, the rich person goes, "Oh, you're those three bakers we have been waiting for." "Oh, yeah, that's right. You got the money?" "But no, we don't know nothing about bacon. Shut up, you." And then then it always ends up with, the rich people getting thrown in the wedding cake and you know, the snooty guy getting hit with a pie, and everyone, all the fancy rich guests are covered in frosting at the end of it, and yeah, the three stooges are running away in the end to the end credits. Wah, 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 wah. Those are my heroes. I didn't really go to college, so I don't have any idea as to who I'm supposed to be, who are my people.
Right.
And I think that's what hurts you. It's like, well, aren't you supposed to be my people?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
this helps you kind of set up a identity to move away from that cognitive dissonance. And it's like, well, I'm not trying to impress you anyway.
Yeah, and I never...
Douche.
I never should anyway. I never should try to. They've totally got that audience down. That's cool.
Right, yeah, and like it's not like you were ever really trying to impress them anyway. Like, you never submitted any writings to Counterpunch or any of them.
I knew it wasn't their thing. You're, I absolutely totally different knew creature. That. Yeah, yeah. I've never even tried to knock on the door for that.
But then they came chasing after you, saying, "Hey, you're not our people. You're different."
Yes.
Like, I know.
And I
spent months and months informing you of that.
Right, yeah. But I know I'm not. Like, you know, like I drive a 2000 Mitsubishi Magna that is all beat up. So it's not old enough to be cool and vintage, but it's not young enough to, like, that's the sort of thing.
You wrote an article titled "Hillary Clinton Demands More Russia Escalations from the Trump Administration."
Yeah.
That's a horrifying headline.
Yeah, well, the little bitch went on Twitter. I don't know who... And here's my problem. I need to write this story because she is so influential. It's got 53,000 likes at this point.
It's probably way more than that by now. That was when you wrote that this morning.
No. It's got... I when
checked. Oh, the tweet?
Yeah,
oh,
it's got 53,000 now. And people, like, I knew as soon as I wrote this, people were going to come out and say, "Oh, she's just an old lady. Why do you even bother? She's just, you know, leave her alone in the woods. Like, she didn't win. What? Concentrate on the Nazi and the, blah, 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 blah." Anyway. So I actually wrote that in the story, and that kind of nullified it a little bit. I didn't get as much pushback. But the thing is, she's extremely influential and everyone listens to her. And she's clearly, you know, using this whole Russiagate story to hide her own sins, which are plentiful. So, yeah, anyway. But also, more horrifyingly, she's using her platform to demand more escalations of the Trump administration on Russia, as if there weren't enough already.
But that's their narrative. That's the narrative she's helping to advance, is that he's too soft on Russia.
Too soft on Russia. So anyone who's been paying attention knows that this guy has been extremely hawkish on Russia.
Way more hawkish than Obama. He's the worst Putin puppet ever.
Bend him back.
Terrible. Terrible investment. All those billions and billions of dollars the dossier said that they spent on him. Totally flushed down the toilet.
Came to nothing.
Horrible, horrible investment. But yeah, you've got warships in the Black Sea now.
Right.
To counter Russia's presence there.
Right.
Which is adjacent to the Black Sea.
Yeah.
They got ships in their water.
Their own water.
Yeah. So yeah. How dare they?
Yeah. I mean, but this is the kind of expansion of the ego, of the super ego, I guess, of the American war machine, is that it considers ships inside, you know, in its own freaking boundaries to be provocations.
That's so... We talk about rape too damn much. I mean, in some people's opinion, but yeah, maybe not enough.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that the ocean on your own shore.
It's not yours.
To do with. Like, someone who thinks that that's legitimate definitely rapes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Is definitely a rapist.
Yeah.
Like, if you think that that someone's sovereignty is... that your boundaries extend all the way into someone else's territory.
Past many, many countries and many oceans as well.
Yeah, but God.
So America owns everything except Russia, according to...
And you have people defending that, saying, yeah, well, we got allies in the Black Sea. Oh, okay. We should just have troops everywhere then, literally everywhere, and we do. And that's just accepted as normal, because yeah. There are allies. That's just another way of saying, yeah, well, America is a really big empire.
There's a whole
big empire there.
And we made a lot of friends.
We need really big guns all over that empire.
Anyway.
The nuclear posture review we talk about a lot, which is extremely aggressive towards Russia and has blurred the lines of when it is and is not okay to use nuclear weapons. You've got selling arms to Ukraine. You've got Syria, permanent military presence in Syria. They've killed Russians there. They've killed 100 Syrian soldiers not long ago. In this completely illicit, illegal occupation. It's an invasion with thousands of U.S. troops openly there with the intention of effecting regime change. And they want more. These assholes want more. And our friend Stephen Cohen predicted all this.
Yeah, he absolutely did. So firstly, can we just stop for a moment and recognize that Clinton would not have been any better on this. And in fact, she's just stating outright that she would have been worse on this particular issue.
Yeah.
So you just need to remind people that every now and then.
Right. So, yeah, the fact that, yeah, she's just fighting any tiny attempt to resist escalations as treason, as are all these Democrats.
She is such a horrible person. I really don't like her, Timothy.
I know. I know. I've noticed that about you.
I just really hate anyone who would use violence anyway, in any, like, to get what they want. But to use violence on such a massive scale to clean up her embarrassment about her losing that election, plus make good on all the promises that she obviously made to those donors to get her to, you know, to lose it. I just find the whole thing so evil.
So as you noted, after she tweeted that, it got thousands and thousands and thousands of shares. It got, and people wrote whole articles about it all over the place. She just with one tweet, she's completely shaped the narrative.
Yeah.
About what's going on.
She's extremely powerful.
Making Trump have to, keep scrambling towards nuclear Armageddon in order to prove that he's not a traitor.
Yeah, and you know, the guy is so insecure about his dick size, that actually works.
Right.
You know, could you actually manipulate someone who is clearly a narcissist in any worse direction? Like, if you're going to manipulate someone, for fuck's sake, not towards nuclear Armageddon. Thank you.
Yeah, but, you know, they're desperate, right? There was that... I should have researched this before we came on because I've been thinking about it a lot. There was that review that some military body did on the state of the empire, and they basically said that American dominance is on the way out.
Mm.
So no wonder they're in panic mode. They have to stop the rise of their rivals. They have to. It's evolve or die. They have to transcend. And evolve or die in a bad way. They've got a.
I was gonna say I use that a lot, but yeah, like
maybe devolve or die.
Yeah.
But they got to shut down the competition, and they got to shut them down hard, and that's why they're overreaching in such bizarre ways. And that's why this whole thing looks so weird. It's because they're just really, really frantic to manufacture these escalations and really shove hard on Russia and weaken it so that it can so that they can start working on weakening China and hopefully retain dominance for a few more decades.
Perhaps. And that's not allowing for the rise of cryptocurrencies. There's a whole heap of things coming their way that are...
Tons of things. Environmental change, AI. We're basically on the precipice of this whole unknown... no one can predict what it looks like in a few years from now. And they're using old modalities to try and retain dominance and with these really outdated strategies of thinking and thinking that'll save them, and it just won't.
No,
but they're risking everything's life, every terrestrial organism's life in doing this.
Yeah,
selfish and this gamble price they're taking.
Yeah, and well, but one of the things that has been amazing that they haven't been flat-footed about is the propaganda machine. And she is just a master at that, at turning the whole argument towards exactly what the establishment wants.
It's really impressive. It's so impressive how good they are at controlling narratives and shaping narratives and manipulating the ways people think about what is happening in the world.
Yeah.
And if we hadn't been engaging people on social media all the time, just normal rank and file people, I would never even imagine that it works. I would just be like, look at these clowns. Look what they're doing. Do they honestly think anyone would buy that?
Right.
But I guess, you know, we're kind of over here, so we're not maybe as saturated in it as the Americans are. The Americans. Look at me. As the people who live in America are.
Right.
So it's maybe hard to see just how influential these relentless psyops can be.
Yeah, because we're not like CNN isn't in every, you know, waiting room that we're sitting in.
Right, and not just CNN, like pretty much every publication, almost all their journalists thinking alike somehow.
Yeah. The Borg.
Yeah, that's nutty.
Yeah. So I talked a bit about Stephen Cohen. We talked about that last podcast about just how bang on he's been on.
Prophetic.
Yeah, on every point. And the scary thing is his prophecy doesn't lead to good places. So could we just actually take note?
So what do you reckon? What are we looking at here, Caitlin?
Well, I mean, I think there's one of two possibilities that have been running through my brain right now. It could be, I mean, we really could be looking at the end. Or we could be looking at the white noise just before the new beginning. It's very difficult to say from here. I think that there is a lot of indications that we're winning. I think the mainstream media would never have had to pace people into understanding that, yes, the CIA had been funding terrorists in Syria, and, yes, they had been providing weapons and stuff like that through other means, if they hadn't have been forced to by people like Vanessa Bealey.
Right.
And so although they might, you know, shout everyone down as conspiracy theorists and deride them and mock them and shame them, etc., we're moving the needle. They need to counteract the sorts of things that we're bringing into consciousness here. And they hate that. They're using every weapon they can, but it is actually working. So I don't feel like people are buying the, you know, Syria thing and the numbers that they need. I feel like if we could just have a few more shoves at that door, I think it might give. But we do need a few more miracles. Like, we do need, you know, a few things to align up. And I think, but we're agile enough to do that. It's something about being responsive to the ever-changing landscape that we've got over the establishment, which does need to go through, you know, in order to keep everyone on message, they do need to pace everyone slowly and keep everyone on the same thing. Whereas if you're just pointing at truth, then you don't have to tie in with other people, do you? You just keep pointing at it.
Right.
So our agility is going to always be our strength. So yeah, I think if we can just stay on our toes, not get too worn down. It's so exhausting. I know people are exhausted. Debbie from Same Progressive has had to have a break. Like,
yeah, she seems pretty worn out.
Yeah.
She's throwing herself as hard as she can at this thing.
She really is. Oh my God, I love that woman. Her heart is so, like, and you know, and she's so smart, and she really does, she's really onto it. But yeah, it is tiring. So I'm glad that she's taking time for herself. And anyone who needs to should. But yeah, if you can keep going, just keep going, because I think we're nearly there.
Well, you're really sexy.
Hey.
Do you want to... I just realized you got a new poem out just because. Yeah. Do you want to pull that up and maybe you could read that and read it whenever you got a poem out? Maybe you could read that. We could close a podcast with you reading your latest poem.
That's a good idea.
Isn't that? I came up with that just now.
You're just brilliant.
Do you have it?
Yeah,
I do. Is it all geared up?
Yeah, I can do that. Okay. All right, I'll bring the mic over. We've got a new fluffy thing on our mic too.
It probably makes it sound way better.
Yeah. Okay. It's called Just Because. We could only hide in our leaf wings for so long. One day a man sneered at an old woman on a bus in Ballarat, and she said, "You're not fooling anyone, Gaia." Suddenly, great wings with leaves for feathers burst from his jacket and from the back of her heavy coat and from the backs of everyone on the bus, one by one. It spread like wildfire, and mankind took to the air. Financiers cried for a minute, and went on CNN to say it was bad for the economy. But then they realized that they could fly too, so they quit their whining. The old ways crumbled, and a new world was born. Now art pours from our hair like rain, and words erupt from the mouths of poets, from groin to lips, into ears attached to serene minds, where their splendor dances unobscured. We discovered that beauty is just another word for the experience of having truly seen something. We sculpt its edges with chlorophyll wingtips and breathe incandescent vibrations into its essence and make sensory explosions in the sky just to thrill each other. Just because we pull apart the machines of war and industry to make instruments of unprecedented music. Just because we learn the languages of whales and we join them in nightly improvisations. Just because we explore new depths of love and creation and discover we've been barely tickling the surface. Just because we stand wingspread on hilltops as the sun feeds us and let the grass teach true history to our bare feet. Just because the man from Ballarat has given the old woman a strange violin that he made out of driftwood. Just because the woman looks at him and says, "There, now, isn't this easier?"
Caitlin is an entirely crowdfunded journalist. So if you want to support her daily podcasts and articles, the best way to do that is via Patreon and PayPal. Links in the description. Follow Caitlin on Steemit, Medium, or get on our mailing list, caitlinjohnston.com, so you can get an email whenever she writes an article. You have been listening to Going Rogue.
Shine on.
Thanks, y'all.